This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. Cincinnati is getting ready to get its credit score for the coming year. In the city's case, it's a bond rating. Right now, the city has a double A rating, which is one step below the best of AAA. City officials say they're hoping to maintain that double A rating, but Mayor John Cranley is publicly saying he expects a downgrade. A lower bond rating means it would cost the city more to borrow money. City Council will play an important role in that decision. Rating agencies are looking for Council to create a structurally balanced budget and also come up with a plan to stabilize the city's underfunded pension system. Both of those are major decisions and will likely come with some pain. Joining me in the studio to discuss the city's bond rating are Council Members Wendell Young and Amy Murray, and on the phone is Council Member Kevin Flynn. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Later this hour, we'll hear about the Hamilton County Business Center. But first, we're going to delve into city finances. Thank you all for being here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me, too. It's always a pleasure.
And, good afternoon, Jay.
And Kevin, since we have you on the phone, let me start with you. People, if I say bond rating, yeah, well, so what? Why is the bond rating of the city so important to taxpayers here in the city?
Well, every year, Jay, we borrow significant millions of dollars as old bonds roll off and we place new bonds on. We're always leveraging money. And a 0.25% or 0.5% change in the interest rate has a significant amount, a significant impact on the amount that we can actually afford to borrow. So if the interest rate goes up, we can afford to borrow less, just like it is with your house.
Mr. Young, you want to respond? Why should the citizens care about the bond rating?
Well, I would love to expand on what Kevin has said, but he actually hit it on the head. There's nothing there to disagree with. He's absolutely correct. And people need to care because, like he said, it affects everything here in the city. It not only affects what goes on in your home, it affects the level of services we can provide because that is definitely dictated by the amount of money we have to spend on those services.
Amy, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure. My main concern is that our bond rating went down once last year, and Standard & Poor's and Moody are coming in the next month to look at our bond rating. And so it's really important that we're able to keep our rating if we can, and it's just important for the city. And hopefully we won't go down to triple B, but they've been saying that if a city or municipality does not have a structurally balanced budget for 4 years, the highest they might be able to receive is a triple B. Now, I don't think that will happen to us. I think we'll have a little bit of a grace period, but it's just showing the importance that we have to structurally balance our budget this year and be on the right track so that we can get our bond rating back up where it was.
And we'll talk about the structurally balanced budget coming up in a moment. Also, isn't part of the bonding is tied to a portion of the property tax millage? So if it costs more to borrow, there's the potential that the city part of your property tax that goes to pay off debt could actually have to go up because of the increased cost of borrowing the money. Is that correct? Kevin, you want to try that?
Jay, I think we set that amount. I mean, it would mean that we would have less for this coming year, and in the future, that definitely could be an impact if there are, we talk about at the federal level hitting the debt ceiling. The federal government can just print more money. We can't print more money, so if we are obligated on a certain amount of debt relative to capital improvements, if we can't afford to pay that with that, we wouldn't have a choice but to either stop doing capital projects or raise the millage, and that's the last thing we want to do.
And we just set the property tax for 2015, so that's already been set, so this would be a year or two off.
When we talk about a structurally balanced budget, we'll say from the beginning, Cincinnati year to year has always had a balanced budget, but structurally balanced means that you're actually, in best cases, you're collecting more revenue than you're spending. The city's case, the last several years, the city's actually spending more money than they're collecting in revenue, and there have been, one-time sources of money and deferring some payments, to get the budget to balance for that particular year. So that sounds really simple, collect more money, or cut what you spend, and you've cut a lot, and it's at some point you can only cut so much. So at some point, one would think somehow you're going to have to introduce more revenue into the city if you're going to structurally balance the budget.
Well, personally, I believe that's where we are. I think we are at the point where we really have to begin to look at how we bring additional revenue to the city. That was one of the things the parking plan would have done with the upfront money that we wanted to get. That's not going to happen. And so I'm not sure precisely what it is the mayor has in mind to bring in additional revenue. But choices here are pretty slim. It is a matter of find additional revenue, make very difficult cuts, perhaps roll back the property tax, increase that back again. I mean, there are just not many options left, in my opinion, that will help us to balance this budget. This comes on the heels, of course, of already promising that we're going to have two new recruit classes, one for police, one for fire. We've already begun with the police department in terms of them looking for officers who have experience to come so they can jumpstart getting more cops on the street. At the same time, we, in my opinion, still have to find ways to maintain the services we have. We're on the hook for saying we're going to fix all these potholes and do at least 100 lane miles of paving every year, something we've never been able to really keep up with. So there are a lot of promises we have to keep so far with pretty much the same amount of money we've always had. So finding additional revenue is really important. And, of course, this comes on the heels of the state having taken away money from the cities. And so we've lost $27 million to the state from the local government fund that we're not going to get. So there definitely are holes in this budget that need to be plugged. It's easy to talk about a structurally balanced budget. It is achievable, but not without a lot of pain. So the question simply becomes, where will the pain be inflicted and how much will the public bear?
Well, now, Amy, I was going to say, I know you, I think, said on the campaign, live within your means. So that would tell me that you're not necessarily in favor of a whole lot of new revenue. You would prefer that the balancing come on the cut side.
Well, partially, but I think we can get new revenue through the parking meter. So today the Neighborhood Committee is meeting and we're looking at all sorts of different parking opportunities. And under the old plan, we would be getting a lot of money and spending it on different things, but it wouldn't be helping the general fund. Under the new parking plan, we're really looking for what can we do to add to the general fund right now. So hopefully we'll be able to add, you know, $2 to $4 million more to the general fund annually. So that will help close that gap. And as far as, you know, with police, I think that safety is critical. And we're scheduled to lose probably 30 police officers this year and 30 police officers next year. So hopefully with the new recruit class coming in, you know, that will be kind of a zero net sum gain. You know, but when we talk about spending and, you know, this is done and it's over, but, you know, spending the additional money on the streetcar, that is going to affect the operating cost. So I think as a council, you know, we really need to look at everything we have now. What are our priorities and how are we going to go forward?
I think when you talk about going forward, if I can just add one thing here right quick, and that simply is when you think in terms of going forward, in my opinion, you're not talking about being stagnant with what you have. I'm not talking about being a caretaker. I do believe that government must be able to multitask. So you not only need to handle what's on your plate today, you need to make strategic investments for the future. That requires money. The streetcar is one of those investments, whether you like it or not. It is an investment in the future. It's not for an immediate return on investment. But if we do not find ways to invest in the city's future, we simply become caretakers of what we have. We'll continue to lose population, continue to lose business, continue to lose opportunities to grow and to expand, which pretty much, in my opinion, means Cincinnati will never achieve its rightful place among the top-tier cities in this country.
Kevin, let you weigh in there on the question of more revenue versus cuts.
Thanks, Jay. Well, a couple of things. One, you mentioned police and fire, and if we are going to grow, which is, you know, we have to grow as a city to grow our revenue, but we're never going to grow if we're not safe and we don't feel safe. So that has to be our top priority. But further, you know, we have a $1.5 billion with a B annual budget. We only ever look at the $350 million general operating budget, which consists, by the vast majority, of police and fire. We need to look at the entire budget. We need to look at how different departments have been able to wean themselves off of the general operating budget and hide themselves in other budgets so that they don't get cut, so that they don't get looked at. So we need to really look at function.
Can you give us some examples of department
spending this money, whether it's coming out of the MSD's budget, whether it's coming out of the capital budget for personnel costs, whatever it is, there's a lot of money in those other budgets that never gets looked at.
So now, are you talking all departments are doing that, or just certain departments?
I think there's some departments are doing it more than others, and it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing, you know. But it's a parochial look at the budget. I'm trying to protect my budget, so I will put, I'll have a special fund created, and that doesn't get looked at. Or stormwater maintenance is an MSD function, so they can help pay for some park maintenance, because by having more trees, that's sucking up the stormwater and it's not going into our system. There's a lot of things like that out there, Jay, and we've never really had enough time. I mean, one of the things that I've said is we need to start looking department by department, function by function, now, so that we're not approaching June 30th again without having the answers, the baseline answers on where our money is getting spent.
Wasn't that part of a budget process, though, where I think a couple years ago, this before you were on council, that they went through service by service and listed stuff, quartile one being the most important, quartile four being the least important. And basically, I think three and four were supposed to sort of be on the chopping block, but they never ended up on the chopping block.
Priority-based budgeting.
Priority,
right.
That's what I was trying to come up with.
Yeah. But that data is still out there, and it's still good data.
And I think it's disingenuous to say that that data was not used or looked at. It certainly was. And a lot of budget decisions in the last budget cycle absolutely did come from that study. The reality simply is, however, the majority of our costs, no matter where you look, are tied up in personnel and the money you have to spend to support personnel. So it's not just their salary, it's also their benefits. Also, the thing to keep in mind is that we have, as a city, grown smaller in that regard. So we have cut, we have cut, we have cut. And we're at the point where personnel cuts are going to be especially painful and have additional meaning in terms of our pension. You've got to have people working in order to keep those payments up. So we need to be very careful and very judicious with any additional cuts that we're making. Not that there isn't room for that, but we need to be very careful with it. I think another thing to keep in mind, however, is that when you talk about the funds in some of the other departments, for example, sewer and water, those are restricted funds. And so you're restricted by law and by ordinance in many cases what you can do with those monies. And though some of those monies do go into the general fund, in some cases restricted funds can only be utilized in that utility. That was one of the problems with our parking, was that the majority of the money we got in from that could only be used to enhance parking. You couldn't take that money and pay cops and firefighters, for example. There are restrictions on restricted funds. And so it's one of the things to keep in mind. And I think it's something that really confuses people when they look at the city budget. There is the belief, who cares what bucket it's in? All that money is there. Just spend it where you need to. You can't.
But Jay,
Wendell, let me just jump in on that, because we saw with the parking that the only reason that the parking meter revenue was restricted was a city ordinance. And the city council last year repealed that ordinance, so that now the parking meter money was freed up. So, you know, there are a lot of cases like that where it's easy to say that it's restricted, but it's only restricted by our own actions.
That is true, perhaps in some cases, and I don't want to argue the parking meters, because we've already decided we're not going to do the deal that was on the table. So since that's not going to happen, I think it's not really beneficial for the public to hear us go over and over what the benefits of that plan may have been, because we're not going to do it. But one of the reasons that they entered into the agreement the way they did was so that they could open those funds up and monetize that system. However, that is not going to happen. What you are going to see is a plan that I don't fully understand yet, that will offer an alternative to that. But the majority of that money will end up back in the parking system. The significant amounts of money we would have gotten on the old system that would have gone to the general fund, that's not going to happen.
Amy, let you get in there.
Sure. Well, you know, where I think we're heading is, if we can do the hard work and structurally balance this budget, then hopefully we are set from here on out. And the department, the personnel we have, people will know that they are safe in their jobs, that they can go on and do the work of the city. So I think that that is critical. And the other part is Cincinnati is thriving and vibrant right now. We have many new companies that are starting to come downtown. We had two last week that moved downtown. And so by that, we're going to increase the earnings, income tax. So I'm hoping that our earnings tax will go up, that the amount of revenue we bring in from that. And so as that grows, as we offset it with parking, you know, if we can just get through the next few months, I think that we will be in good shape as a city financially.
I want to circle back. You said something when you were talking about the parking. I think that you were thinking like $2 million in revenue.
Well, under the old plan, we were going to bring in at the most $3 million a year. Right now, under one of the new plans that I've seen, it has us bringing in upwards of $7 million. And it's not through collection of tickets. Really, we don't want to hurt people out there. What it is we have so many meters that aren't being used right now that people aren't putting in the money. And so if we really can encourage people that they need to use the meters and can increase revenue that way, not through aggressive ticketing, but through that, if we can get up to $7 million, that would be wonderful. That would all go towards the general fund in solving this budget deficit.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking city finances with council members Kevin Flynn, Amy Murray, and Wendell Young. If you'd like to join the conversation, 513-419-7100. And Jonathan, you have a question? Go ahead. You're on the air.
I do. Thank you. My name is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you? I've been following the budget situation for quite some time. One of the things that I've observed with this council and with prior city councils is that there's really a sort of two fundamental conditions of operation, so to speak. An apparent unwillingness to increase taxes or fees to accommodate some of the increasing expenses, and an unwillingness to really take a hard look at the finances in the police and fire departments. The police and fire departments represent over 60% of the general fund budget. Salary and benefit costs represent over 80% of the total general fund costs. But instead of looking at the largest departments, the city council and mayor have this intention of adding more police and fire officers. I don't know as a citizen whether or not we really need them and where we need them. I don't know if the police and fire departments are really operating in the most efficient way possible. So how do you reconcile the fact that there's this apparent unwillingness to either increase revenues or address expense issues in the two largest departments in the city?
Amy, I'll let you go first on that one.
Okay. I am one of those folks where I have a basic belief that if we increase taxes, it will end up bringing in less money in the long run, because I think, 9% of cities in the U.S. have an earnings tax. So my concern is that if we increase our earnings tax, we're going to have companies then just go across the river to Northern Kentucky or to Norwood. So I want to do what we can to grow our revenue base by being a place that people want to come and that they feel like it's a tax-friendly area where they can grow their business. So for me, I just feel like if we raise taxes, we're going to be hurting ourselves in the long run. I think that we have to look at every department. And you're right, we need to look at police and fire. We need to make sure we're doing everything effectively and efficiently in those departments. I just met with Chief Blackwell last week, and he's just very concerned because, as you know, we've had a higher homicide rate, and he feels like we don't have the officers on the street that we need. And so I think by adding, we haven't added a recruit class in 5 years. So I think that the council has been good about that.
Kevin, I'll let you respond to that.
I would agree with Amy that, and when you say that we haven't increased taxes, as incomes have gone up in the city, we have increased taxes. We pay a percentage, 2.1% of our earnings into the city coffers. So it is not a static number. It is an increasing number. That being said, if you've been looking at or listening to the Law and Public Safety Committee meetings recently, we had the Chief Braun from the fire department in. 95% of the personnel are actively engaged in response to calls, including the assistant chiefs, the district chiefs. Chief Braun said that he was at a fire recently directing that fire because an assistant chief or a district chief wasn't available. They are not at the minimum standards of availability of personnel within a certain number of minutes that are set by, you know, by national groups. So we are looking at that. But at the same time, if you have hundreds fewer police or hundreds fewer firefighters than you had before, you can't operate as efficiently. And at some point, you're putting not only citizens' lives in danger, but you're putting the officers themselves' lives in danger.
Wendell, let me let you get in there on Jonathan's question.
Well, actually, excuse me, I agree with both Amy and Kevin in regard to much of what they said. What I will say in regard to safety forces is I don't think anyone is willing to cut the uniform personnel, the street strength in particular. But it does not mean you cannot look at those budgets and try to realize other savings. And perhaps that is what some people mean when they say that we won't take a hard look at the safety budget. Certainly, Chief Craig, when he was here, was in the act of, and I think he got through pretty much of the review he was doing with the police department. And now, of course, you have Chief Blackwell for the police department, who I believe is doing very much the same thing. Chief Braun has gone through this maybe a couple of times with his department. But I don't think the demands have been placed on the safety department to really do the hardcore look at the budget that needs to be done. And in some cases, I think that department directors are not necessarily the people you want to take a look at those budgets because they do have proprietary interests in preserving things that they feel are important the public may not necessarily agree with. So I think an independent audit of all city departments is what is in order, and I do think there's money to be found. I don't think there's enough money to be found, however, to balance the budget. So we still have to have an eye toward being able to bring in new revenue. We still have to think in terms of large projects that keep the momentum of the city going. People are coming here, that's a fact, but they're coming because of the energy that Cincinnati is projecting that shows that we're growing. We need to make sure that continues.
And, of course, the biggest we haven't talked about what could even be a bigger problem, the pension, so we're going to get to that here momentarily. Just yes or no from all three of you. Will there be a structurally balanced budget when council passes a budget in June?
I think that the administration will present what they've been asked to present, a structurally balanced budget. The question is going to be, will council, when they see what that looks like, have the stomach to go forward with what the administration is likely to recommend?
Amy? I will vote for a structurally balanced budget.
And Kevin, I think I heard you say yes in the background.
You did.
Well, now we know for the bond rating, a structurally balanced budget is important. And like I said, an even larger issue is the underfunded pension system. And the rating agencies want to see that there's a solution to that. Councilmember Smitherman introduced a motion last week that he said was his solution to the pension problem. Basically, it summarized that the compound cost of living adjustment for current retirees would be switched to a simple COLA. And I guess another big piece of that was the city would put $100 million into the system. And we're going to make this real quick. I apologize for that. Kevin, let me start with you. What do you make of Councilmember Smitherman's proposal as you've seen it so far for the pension issue?
Well, I applaud Christopher for putting it out there because we have to start the discussion. One thing that's not mentioned in there are the medical benefits. We still have a much richer medical benefit plan than most private sector companies for current employees and retirees, as well as a huge fund that is a separate trust fund from the pension trust that is well funded. And we need to look at all of that. I would also like to have the solicitor's office that Mr. Smitherman's proposal to see whether it's even doable under current law.
Amy, 30 seconds about what you think of Mr. Smitherman's pension plan.
I agree with Kevin. I'm glad that he brought it forward. We need to get started. I think we're going to have to do something with the 3% compounded COLA that came up in the 1990s. You know, I think we have an example of Detroit where people are getting pennies on the dollar for their pension. So we do not want that to happen in Cincinnati. So I'm thinking in the next month and a half, hopefully we will have a solution that at least will maintain a lot of the benefits and pension benefits.
Wendell, I'll give you the last word.
This is not a new conversation for me. This certainly happened with the last council. It'll probably be an ongoing conversation for some time. However, Smitherman's proposal is precisely what our pension administrator, Paula Tinsley, had presented to me. So I don't know if that's his proposal or hers. But the reality is there are changes that need to be made. My concern will always be the retirees, especially the long-term retirees, whose retirement checks have gotten very small. And any change to their benefit could, in many cases, be catastrophic.
And certainly a big topic that probably both the structurally balanced budget and the pension issue that we're going to hear a lot about in the coming weeks and months. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking about the Cincinnati's bond rating, a structurally balanced city budget, and stabilizing the city's underfunded pension system. My guests were City Council members Kevin Flynn, Amy Murray, and Wendell Young. Coming up after the break, you'll hear about the Hamilton County Business Center and why it was recently ranked the best business incubator in the state of Ohio. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.